Jayana Chananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai. Okay, so we're going to continue our reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're in chapter Adilila, chapter. Wait a second, hang on. I might be in the wrong place here. Where's Archita? Okay, give me the chapter and the verse. Chapter 4, text 29, is it? Okay. All right, I was in the wrong place. Okay. I'm going to read the English, actually. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. And I'll read that purport, and then that'll be the only purport I'll read, actually. Purport. Yoga Maya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotee in different transcendental mellows. This Yoga Maya potency creates a spiritual sentiment in the minds of the damsels of Braja by which they think of Lord Krishna as their paramour. This sentiment is never to be compared to mundane illicit sexual love. It has nothing to do with sexual psychology, although the pure love of such devotees seems to be sexual. One should know for certain that nothing can exist in this cosmic manifestation that has no real counterpart in the spiritual field. All material manifestations are emanations of the transcendence. The erotic principles of amorous love reflected in mixed material values are perverted reflections of the reality of spirit. But one cannot understand that reality unless one is sufficiently educated in spiritual science. This is now... It's going to be all translations throughout until text 52. Neither the gopis, nor, this is Krishna speaking, neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties, dharma. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. I shall taste the essence of all these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Then, by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Braj, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. Here the use of the verb bhavet, which is in the imperative mood, tells us that this certainly must be done. Non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. Just as these desires are the fundamental reasons for Krishna's appearance, whereas destroying the demons is only an incidental necessity, so for Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgating the dharma of the age is incidental. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. Thus, with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Thus he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. Four kinds of devotees are the receptacles of the four kinds of mellows and love of God, namely servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. Each kind of devotee feels that his sentiment is most excellent, and thus, in that mood, he tastes great happiness with Lord Krishna. But if we compare the sentiments in an impartial mood, we find that the conjugal sentiment is superior to all others in sweetness. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love, which has the highest taste, is the gradual succession of desires. But that love, which has the higher taste in the gradual succession of desire, manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Therefore, I shall in Madhurya Ras. Therefore, I call it Madhurya Ras. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded. There is a great increase of mellow in the unwedded conjugal mood. Such love is found nowhere but in Braj. The mood is unbounded in the damsels of Braj, but among them it finds its perfection in Sri Radha. Her pure mature love surpasses that of all others. Her love is the cause of Lord Krishna's tasting the sweetness of conjugal relationship. Therefore, Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Hari himself, accepted the sentiments of Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Quote, Lord Chaitanya is the shelter of the demigods, the goal of the Upanishads, the be-all and end-all of all great sages, the beautiful shelter of his devotees and the essence of love of the lotus-eyed gopis. Will he again be the object of my vision? Now, should I do 52 as well, or was I supposed to stop there? Do 52, okay. Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarian mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels, Sri Radha, and so he assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding in his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. Om aginatamananda shajananjana shalaka chakshurin moitamiena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitamiena bhutale swayam rupagadamayam dhiratisvatam. So, I'm just experiencing, you could call it a coincidence, maybe it's a coincidence, or like a minor miracle or something, because I read up on the wrong verses. Archita sent me a text message with the right, but somehow or another I read chapter 2, text 29 to 52, which is something completely different, and something I read it about three times and said, how am I, this doesn't seem like, it's going to be hard to kind of relate to Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Why did Archita give me this? I got the wrong place. Now, when I opened it to chapter 2, I said, wait a second, we weren't reading chapter 2 yesterday, it was chapter 4. This is perfect, though. This is exactly what I wanted to talk about anyway. So Krishna's made this amazing arrangement that and I actually had prepared the class on this, but, you know, I just was going to disregard what all those other verses were saying, but now this is exactly what I wanted to talk about. Okay, so yesterday in the beautiful class that Shyamakund Prabhu gave, he made one point about how, towards the end of the class, how when Krishna came, he, you know, gave the Bhagavad Gita and he gave instructions how one can perfect their life, but not a lot of people became devotees as a result of Krishna's appearance 5,000 years ago or the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita that only a handful of people, you know, the Pandavas, Bhishma Dev, Queen Kunti, etc., you know, not many people actually understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not many people took his instruction of abandon all varieties of religion, surrender to me, I'll protect you from all sinful activities, do not fear. So, in one sense, it was, I mean, I couldn't say unsuccessful, but it didn't get the desired result. People weren't surrendering. So Lord Krishna decided that, okay, I got to do something to make this work. And that is, so he decided, I'll come in the form of, I'll come as my own devotee, and I'll show people how wonderful it is to surrender to Krishna. And when they see me experiencing so much ecstasy, et cetera, well, then they'll become inspired to become devotees of Krishna. And that's, of course, exactly what happened. When Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, It wasn't just a few people that, you know, were excited about being devotees of Krishna. Thousands, hundreds and thousands. There's descriptions in the both the Chaitanya Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Charitamrita of thousands and thousands of devotees following Lord Chaitanya wherever he went. So much so that, you know, they were, if Lord Chaitanya went, you know, sort of in a path that where there was no road, that there were so many people, they would just make a road. They were pulling out the, you know, pulling out the plants and just, or if he went across a river and you know, there was no boat, somehow or another, even they didn't know how to swim, they got across the river. This was, you know, the descriptions are there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there was a lot of Lord Chaitanya was highly successful in his mission of attracting people to become devotees of Krishna, and all sorts of people became devotees of Krishna as a result of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And I'm sort of one of them myself. I mean, I'm not really a devotee. I'm trying to be, but I can't. My own personal story falls into this category. The brief version of it is: I used to actually do service at a yoga center that Amala Bhakti Maharaj managed when he was called Swami Shivananda in Midtown Manhattan, and one day, it was a Friday, I was going home back to the Bronx, and I was just about get ready to go into the subway on 59th Street and Lexington Avenue, and a devotee stopped me just as I was about to do that, and he handed me a Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he did his spiel, and he asked for a donation. I gave a donation. You know, so I'm kind of cutting out the irrelevant details here. But I started reading it, and the thing I have to tell you, previous to getting that Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, though, I had come in contact with Prabhupada's books. I actually, when I was a year or so prior to that, I was up at college, and I had some friends who had taken, like, started going to some yoga class, hatha yoga, and they were just bugging me, you got to try this, you got to. I said, forget it, no way, I'm not interested in that stuff. I was interested in sports and athletics and doing that. That's for, you know, that's for women or something. No way. Anyway, they kept bugging me. So I said, okay, look, just I'll come once. Leave me alone, all right? So I went once and, you know, did the hatha yoga. And it was actually, I said, wow, this is really far out stuff. I mean, it was amazing because I was, at that time, I was, you know, playing a lot of different sports and stuff. And I felt like that did more for me than all that other stuff combined. So I said, well, there's got to be something to this. You know, whoever got this system of exercise together really knew something about the mind and the body and how they all work. Because, you know, I walked out of the thing feeling really relaxed and energetic and peaceful, and the whole works. So I got to get books on, I got to read up on this. So I got some book on it, and in whatever book I read on yoga, it talked about the Bhagavad Gita. So then I said, well, I got to get a Bhagavad Gita. So I remember I read Juan Mascaro's Penguin Edition and Christopher Isherwood Bantam books, you know, those little teeny Bhagavad Gitas, and okay, well, you know, didn't really do much. But then I thought, well, you know, I got to get a better Bhagavad Gita. So I went down to Doubleday Bookstore and in Manhattan, and I was looking, they had about like a dozen or so Bhagavad Gitas, and the ones that were substantial, they were like $25, $30, $35, and there was those little skimpy ones that I'd already mentioned, like they were $5. Then I picked up one Bhagavad Gita, which was, you know, pretty thick like that. And I checked it out and said, well, this is different from all the other ones. You know, it had a picture of Krishna Arjuna on the chariot and cover. And I opened it up. I see there's a Sanskrit in it. And it had pictures and explanations. So I thought, this is pretty good. I'll check it out a little bit. And I started reading, you know, the translations and the purports. And I went, okay, this is pretty serious stuff. But and I was kind of like, it was so serious, I was thinking, I don't know. But then I look at the price, it was $4.95. So I said, oh, I can't, that's it. This is a bargain. I mean, you know, it was as big and thick as the other ones, but and had pictures and Sanskrit, and $4.95. I said, okay, I got to get it. So I bought Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And I remember I took it home, and I used to, like, well, force myself to read it. Because, to be honest with you, it was like, as I said, it was really serious stuff. It was, you know, I mean, I didn't know anything about spiritual life, but just I could understand that this is talking about, you know, giving up sense gratification, and I mean, I could kind of get the message, and so it was hard. It was like a bitter pill to swallow. You know, I wanted the real thing, but at the same time, I could understand from reading Prabhupada's purports that there's a price to pay here. You know, there's going to be a price to pay here for spiritual life. It's, you know, following this, the teachings of this person. So I just every weekend I used to take an hour or two out and try to read it, and that went on for a few months, and then I just kind of, it's too much. I can't. I'm not ready for this. So I understand what's, you know, being called for here, and I'm not ready to come up and do it. And then just some more time passed, and then I met this devotee. You know, maybe like a few months later, I met this devotee and gave me the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And when I first got it, I didn't realize it was by the same author. You know, I didn't put two and two together until later. But getting to the point, though, that, you know, where Krishna came 5,000 years ago and he spoke Bhagavad Gita, and not a lot of people became devotees. But then when Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, lots of people became devotees. So as I said, the same thing happened to me. I read the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and I couldn't bring myself to become a devotee from reading the Bhagavad Gita. I was scared. Bhagavad Gita kind of scared me. You know. Then I got this book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, right after he gave it to me. I mean, literally, right after he gave it to me, you know, I got maybe another minute or two passed. I got down into the subway, and it was Friday, so it was rush hour, and everybody, you know, was packed on the platform waiting for the train. But I started reading it right away. And I read the introduction. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it, really. But when I got to chapter one, the teachings of Rupa Goswami, that was it. I'm just going to read three paragraphs here that I remember that I read, and which that was like the beginning. That was the beginning of my decision to try to join Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, just from these three paragraphs here. So it goes, this is the chapter one, the teachings of Rupa Goswami. And today's supposed to be a reading anyway, so I don't feel too guilty reading a little bit. It's only three paragraphs, so. Srila Rupa Goswami, the younger brother of Sanatan Goswami, went to Prayag, the modern city of Allahabad, with his younger brother Balaba. So it's Rupa Goswami and younger brother Balaba. Sanatan Goswami didn't go. When the two brothers heard that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying there, they both became very happy and went to see the Lord. At that time, the Lord was on his way to visit the temple Bindu Madhava. On the way to the temple, the Lord was chanting and dancing, and thousands of people were following him. Some of these people were crying, some were laughing, some were dancing, and some were singing, and some were falling on the ground, offering obeisances to the Lord. In all cases, all of them were roaring the holy name of Krishna. It is said that in spite of being at the confluence of the rivers Ganges and Yamuna, Prayag was never flooded until the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at which time the city was overflooded by love of Krishna. So, I mean, I really didn't know much about Krishna. Anyway, that attracted me. I remember just even that read that first paragraph, you know, reading that and thinking, okay, now we're talking here. You know, this is attractive. And I'll just read on a little bit. The two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Balaba, stayed aloof in an uncrowded place and witnessed the great crowd and wonderful scene. And they were amazed. They were already really kind of from a devotional background, but they were amazed at what they were seeing. When the Lord danced, he raised his arms and shouted, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. The people all about him were astonished to see his wonderful activities. After visiting the temple, the Lord accepted prasad, food offered to the deity, at the house of a decantist or southern Brahmin. While at the Brahmin's home, the Lord was visited by Rupa and Balaba. From a distance, the two brothers fell down on the ground to offer obeisances, and they chanted many Sanskrit verses from the scriptures. When the Lord saw Rupa Goswami offering obeisances before him, he became very pleased and asked him to get up. The Lord then informed Rupa Goswami of the causeless mercy of Krishna upon him, for Krishna had just delivered him from a materialistic way of life based simply on pounds, shilling, and pence. So notice he's retired now. You know, him and Sanatan Goswami retired from their positions as ministers in the you know, the Muslim occupational government of Nawab Hussein Shah. So he was delivered. Anyway, it goes on. The Lord accepted the two brothers as his own devotees, and he cited one verse from the scriptures which stated that it is possible for a Brahmin who has studied the four Vedas to not be accepted as a devotee of the Lord, and that a pure devotee could come from a very low family and yet be accepted by him. So once again, I can even remember to this day, 44 years, it's actually 1 month away from 44 years ago when I got this book. I understood, you know, this was encouraging. It was encouraging to hear what Prabhupada's saying here. Because the Lord embraced the two brothers out of his causeless mercy, touched their heads with his lotus feet. Being blessed in this way, the brothers offered prayers to the Lord in their own words. The prayers indicated that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself, and that he had assumed the form and fair complexion of Chaitanya, and was thus known as Gauranga, the Golden One, and that he was the most munificent incarnation of Krishna because he was distributing love of Krishna. So can anybody say what that verse is that was just being referred to here? Yeah. Or I should have said aside from Archita. But yeah, that's correct. Namo Mahavadnaya Krishna Paramparadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gurta Shvena Maha. Goes on to say here, Srila Rupa Goswami also quoted one verse which was later found in the book Govinda Lilamrita. By the way, was he the author of that? Is Rupa Goswami the author of Govinda Lilamrita? Does anybody know? Anyway, it was found in that book, and I think it was probably composed by him. And this is a verse that's much less well known than Namo Mahavadnaya, but it's a beautiful verse. It goes, Yo jnana matam bhuvanam dayalor ulaghayan apyakarok pramatam swaprema sampat suraya bhute ham Sri Krishna Chaitanyam amam papajye. Let me surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful personality of Godhead. He delivers those souls who emerge in ignorance and offers them the highest gift, love of Krishna, and thus makes them mad for Krishna consciousness. So this is a very beautiful verse, actually. I'm amazed that it's not more popular and well known. And just if we kind of go through that, so what is it saying here? Let's analyze it. Let me surrender unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful personality of Godhead. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. He delivers those souls who are merged in ignorance. So what does it mean to be merged in ignorance? Well, merge means when you merge two things, like say you merge sweet rice and halva. Oh, let's take an easy one. Say you merge milk into water or water into milk. What happens is the two things become inextricably mixed up. So much so that they both basically lose their original identity. You know, when you merge milk into water, it's no longer just milk, it's something different. It's milky water. You know, it's a very complete mixture to the point, as I said, both things lose their original identity. So that's the point that's being made here, that the conditions, the souls are merged in ignorance. It means people in this Kali Yuga, they're so much immersed in ignorance, you almost can't separate them from that quality. That's how all-pervading the ignorance is and the consciousness of the conditioned souls in the age of Kali. Okay, so that's what Lord Chaitanya is, that's what's being spoken about here. Souls who are in that condition, that position. And it goes on to say, so he delivers those souls who emerge in ignorance, and how does he do it? By offering them the highest gift, love of Krishna. Okay, now that's significant because, you know, he's giving the highest to the lowest. You know, souls that are merged in ignorance, and what is Lord Chaitanya doing? He's offering them the highest gift, love of Krishna. And then it goes on to say, as if that's not enough, it says, and thus makes them mad for Krishna consciousness. Now that's another point. It's that Lord Chaitanya wasn't just giving out. He was giving love for Krishna. I'm glad that in this translation it uses offers, because which is more, a more precise word than gives. You know, sometimes I've seen, Lord Chaitanya is freely giving or giving. Because when you hear giving, it's kind of, in my mind, it makes you think, well, giving means a gift. You just get it. You don't have to do anything. But it's really not like that. Offer is more precise. It's just like Archita worked for a while for Volvo, okay? So it's like a, you know, they offer a sale. You know, so you offer a car for sale, means that you can get it, but there's certain conditions you have to fulfill, and then you get it. When you fill those conditions, and you get it. So Lord Chaitanya is offering. This is important to remember. He's offering this highest gift, love of Krishna. He's not giving it. No, because if he was giving it, why don't we have it? You know, why is it that, you know, there's been people who have come to the Krishna consciousness movement and they've come and go? Even people who had association with Prabhupada, they've come and go. And, you know, constantly there's people who are coming and trying. And it's not a gift. It is a gift in one sense, but it's not like a handed over in a silver platter kind of gift. Lord Chaitanya is offering, just like in the context of, like, say, offering something for sale, which means, yeah, you can have it, but you have to fulfill certain conditions. And that's why there's a process, you know, ado shraddha tato sada sangha tata bhajana kriya, like that. So it is available by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. This highest gift of love of Krishna is available, but we have to do our part. You know, we have to surrender and engage in the process of devotional service in order to receive this highest gift. So I think that's significant. And another point that's being made here, it says, and thus makes them mad for Krishna consciousness. So, as I said, started to say, Lord Chaitanya is not giving any old flavor of love of God. He's giving a very particular, specific flavor of love of God. Bipalamba seva. In other words, I wish I didn't do enough preparation on this point, but I'll present it as a question. I don't know if it would be accurate to say that the residents of Vaikuntha, they definitely have love of God. They definitely have love, you know, love of Godhead. But are they mad for Krishna consciousness? I don't know. I've never heard it referred to that way. And it's like, no, it's Lord Chaitanya is giving like a very high level of love of Godhead. You know, he's making people mad for Krishna consciousness. And that's what's described in the Shashashtagam. You know, the particular type of love of Godhead that Lord Chaitanya is giving. It's completely, described in the last verse, Aslishava padaratam panastum amadarshanam mamahatam kadotuva yatatata bhavadadhat kalampato marpananatas tuseva naparaha. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly in his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, and he's always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So this is the type of love of Godhead that Lord Chaitanya is offering. And it's referred to here in today's reading. You know, how it says, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking. Therefore I call it Madhura Ras. It has two divisions, namely wedded and unwedded. So Lord Chaitanya is offering that unwedded service and separation. There's Samboga and Vipralamba Seva. So that's, Lord Chaitanya was offering this very high mellow of love for Godhead. It's also mentioned here, and we'll describe in this book, Nectar of Instruction. Prabhupada in one purport talks about it. He says, after taking to devotional service under the regulative principles, a person may come to the platform of spontaneous love of Godhead, following in the footsteps of great devotees like Narada, Sanak, and Sanatan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then recognizes him to be superior to Karmis like that. That's was just being discussed previously. The devotees who have developed love of Godhead are certainly in an exalted position. Now here it comes. Of all these devotees, the gopis are recognized as superior because they do not know anything other than satisfying Krishna. Nor do the gopis expect any return from Krishna. Indeed, sometimes Krishna puts them in extreme suffering by separating himself from them. Nonetheless, they cannot forget Krishna. When Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, the gopis became most dejected and spent the rest of their lives simply crying in separation from Krishna. This means that in one sense, they were never actually separated from Krishna. There is no difference between thinking of Krishna and associating with him. Rather, Vipralamba Seva, thinking of Krishna in separation, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, is far better than serving Krishna directly. So this is what Lord Chaitanya was offering. He was offering this Vipralamba Seva, which is, as I said, not just any old brand of love of Godhead. It's kind of like the topmost. So that's the contribution of Lord Chaitanya. And he's offering it. It's a gift, but it's not a free gift. it's a gift that I won't say comes with strings attached, but which requires, you know, something on the part of the people who want to receive it to do in order to get it. We have to, you know, qualify ourselves to receive it. But it's, you know, it's there. And it's a work in progress. You know, it's something that we have to kind of work towards, you know, qualifying ourselves to receive over a lifetime. And we have to do it sincerely, but if we do, then we get sometimes reciprocation, and we get some encouragement along the way, and which leads me to my next point, which I feel like, I just feel like I received some encouragement recently. I just got back from 1 month staying in Mayapur, and by Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, I received a little encouragement. I got there, you know, as everybody experiences, very badly jet-lagged, but I decided, I was waking up at like 11:30, midnight, 12:30, like that. I decided, you know what, I'm just going to dovetail this in Krishna's service, rather than try to go back to sleep. And I'll just stay up, you know, I'm up, all right. So I would read a little bit and listen to Prabhupada a little bit, and then I kind of, by 1:30 in the morning, 1:45, I was marching over to the temple. I lived about a 10-minute walk away from the, you know, from the temple. And so I got there, I got all my rounds chanted before Mangal Arati, and this was, you know, pretty much every day. And not when I was chanting before, but when the Mangal Arati started, you know, but there's hundreds and at one point thousands of devotees there. When the Mangal Arati started, you know, I'd always stand in the Panchatattva temple in front of the Panchatattva deities, and the conch shell would blow, curtains would open, and the kirtan would start. And not every morning, but a lot of mornings, what I experienced was I felt like I was a microphone, you know, when the kirtan started. And somebody just plugged me in and turned on the volume. In other words, all of a sudden, the chanting just became more powerful. You know, I was the same person. You know, I don't know if it was the mercy of the devotees, because there were so many devotees there from all over the world, whether it was the mercy of the Panchatattva deities, whether it was a combination of both, whatever it was, I'm not arguing. It was great. You know, I was just, there I was, and all of a sudden I just started chanting the, you know, samsara, da, 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 like everybody else. But I could really, you know, felt like I was relishing the transcendental sound vibration. I felt like Krishna gave me a little ruchi, you know, a little taste for the chanting. And it happened, like, a bunch of times. And so it was very encouraging. You know, it was a faith-enriching experience, faith-enriching experience to, you know, to have that happen. And you know, it just made me feel more confident, more convinced that, okay, yeah, I didn't make a mistake. I did, and I'm doing the right thing with my life, trying to become a devotee, trying to be a follower of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, and a member of, you know, participating in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, you know, was not a mistake. It was the right decision, and I felt like this was confirmation of it. And another interesting thing I was experiencing, it was very interesting, that I would go to Bhagavatam class in the morning, and for about a week straight, this happened. It started off the morning Vaisheshika Prabhu gave class. I went to the class, and I was sitting there, and I listened to the class, and I thought, while I was hearing the class, and even after, I thought, wow, you know, this is an amazing class. This is, aside from Prabhupada's classes, I mean, this has got to be the best class I ever heard. I mean, this has got to be the best class I ever heard, and I don't think anybody could ever give a better class than this. This is, I mean, wow, he's really got it this morning. And that was, you know, and I felt like that. And then the next morning, the next person to give class was Kalakanta, you know, temple from Gainesville, and he gave class, and I went, oh my God, I can't believe it. no, this class is even better than the other class. This has got to be the best class I've ever heard. Nobody could give a better than this. Nobody's going to be able to give a better class than this class. And I really felt like that. It was genuine. I was really feeling like that. And then the next morning, who was it? I think it was Bhakti Vigyan Swami from he gave class. And I said, oh my God, I can't believe this. No, this has got to be the best class I've ever heard. And I was, and this is, I was genuinely feeling this each morning, and it went on for 7 mornings. It went on for like a week straight. It was Vaisheshika, then Kalakanta, then Bhakti Vigyan Swami, then Tamahara, GBC in Florida area, then Banu Swami, then Bhadra Narayan Maharaj, and it topped off with Devamrita Swami. And I just like, every morning it was the same thing. I heard that class, and I was thinking, well, no, wait a second, you know, these other classes. But that the person was just kind of, whoa, amazing. This is like, and so it was just so good. I thought about it a bit more. I'm thinking, well, how do I understand this? And I remember this verse from the Bhagavatam. It goes, Vayam tu na vatripyama yat utta mashloka vikrame yat shunvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. So I think it's the sages Namasharanya that's speaking to Suta Goswami, and they're explaining to him that keep speaking. You know, they're basically saying to Suta Goswami, keep talking. We're loving it. You know, we're loving it. And you know, vayam tu yatshrinvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. They're telling him it's just somehow or another, it's getting sweeter at every moment, everything you're saying, it just is nectar, and it's becoming even more nectar. So it's like a transcendental phenomena. You know, when you're kind of getting the mercy and you're hearing on the spiritual platform, that's what you experience. I think Prabhupada uses the word nitya. I'm probably not going to pronounce it correctly, but nitya nava nava yamana. It's in the Krishna book about how, you know, Maharaj Prickett was feeling like that when he was hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. It's just ever fresh. It just kind of kept getting. So I was feeling like that each morning. I thought, this is amazing. This is the best class I've ever heard. Nobody could possibly give a better class. And then the next morning, so it was like that. And then one other really far out thing I remember, like highlights, of it, was I bumped into this devotee. Some of you might know him, Nitai Ram. He was here in the New Dwarka. I think he had a different name at that time. I don't think he was initiated, but he, you know, short devotee, Sankirtan devotee, lived in Canada. So I bumped into him, and he used to come with us to the airport for a few months, maybe half a year or something like that. He was here. So we were talking, and then Bhakti Mark Swami walked by, and he's in his zone. He said, hey, I want to talk to you. I'm staying in Ishod Bhavan. That was the building he was staying. Come over there at 5 o'clock. So he said, okay. So we kept talking, and then we said, well, we started wandering over in that direction because, you know, he had to go meet with him. So we're in front of the building there, and as we're getting in front of the building, there was like a group of devotees congregating, and they started doing a kirtan. And we could hear them speaking before they started the chanting. It was a foreign language. And he said to me, oh, I think it's Russian devotees. I think they're from Russia. So they just came together, and they started, you know, doing a kirtan. And, you know, I got the feeling it wasn't like it was like a scheduled, organized, formal thing, you know, that they were told by the Mayapur temple management, okay, you guys perform a kirtan at this place, at this. No, it was more like the mood was, hello everybody, we're the Russian devotees, you know, we've come to Mayapur, we're going to do a kirtan, you know, like this is our devotional offering, you know, we're coming, we're here, we're going to do kirtan, you know, we're here in the holy dham, we're going to do kirtan. And they just, it was about maybe a dozen, maybe at most two dozen, between, you know, 12 and 24 devotees, and they just started performing a kirtan there in front of that building. And then I guess, you know, they just kind of moved. They stayed there for about 10 minutes, and then they gradually moved to other parts of the campus. So they started chanting. And I was, you know, I was just kind of off at about a distance of, say, myself to where, you know, the Savasana Sura sitting, you know, the devotees along the back wall there at that distance. But I was talking with Nitai Ram, and they were chanting. And the thing was, it was just like they were just chanting. It was like just so sincere, you know. And we couldn't help it, you know. We were talking, but they would chant, and you know, like call and response, the regular, you know, traditional method. So we both started. When they would the leader would chant, we would respond like all the other people in the kirtan party. And same thing. You know, it was just so nectar, it was so sincere that I experienced a higher taste. I thought to myself, wow, this is like far out. I don't know. Once again, is this the holy dham? Is this the sincerity of these devotees? I think it was both, really. But there I was, you know, just in Mayapur, just in any old place, and these devotees, sincere devotees, started the kirtan, and I was just marveling at how wonderful the whole thing was, you know, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that here we are, just in the holy dham, and these sincere devotees are chanting, and it was nectar. So that was nice. And another really nice thing was, and this kind of brings me to my final point, is that the first few days I was there, Vaisheshika was there. He actually was there a little bit earlier. He had a yatra. He took some devotees down to Jagannath Puri for a bunch of days, and then he came up and he also took them around to different places around Navadvip, you know, around Mayapur. And so I went for a couple of days, to just kind of get in on it. And the amazing thing was, these devotees, they were distributing books to the local people. You know, they were distributing books to the local people, and they were taking them. And apparently they did like 100,000 rupees worth of books on their whole yatra. They did a lot of books. I mean, I was watching. The books were going out. These local people were taking the books. So that was really inspiring, too, to see that, you know, that spirit that they had of distributing Krishna consciousness. And and last night I was listening to a lecture, and Prabhupada was making the point that, you know, it's Kali Yuga, things are really degraded and all. But he said, but actually, so in one sense it's really unfortunate, but he said, but actually in another sense it's very fortunate, because it's a great opportunity to serve Lord Chaitanya. You know, Lord Chaitanya's come, and he wants to deliver all these people. And, you know, Prabhupada quoted those verses, Mamhi Partha Vipasvacha, and Kirata Hunanda Hulanda Pulkasha, you know, the classical verses about how the most fallen people can be delivered, and that was Lord Chaitanya's mission. So Prabhupada was making the point that actually, you know, for devotees, it's actually a wonderful opportunity, because it's great. There's so many fallen people out there that it's just an amazing opportunity to serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And this is the way we become, this is the one of the primary activities, or the primary ways we become recipients or qualified to be recipients of this amazing gift of love of Godhead that Lord Chaitanya is offering, by, you know, going out and trying to share it with other people, trying to share the message with other people. That's one of the primary ways, you know, in which we become qualified ourselves to be eligible to receive it. So, there's a lot more things I could say, but I'd want to stop on time. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah, Prabhu. What are the conditions? Well, you know them, but I'll say them since you asked. You chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles. Oh, you didn't have a mic. What are the conditions for receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Basically, just follow what Prabhupada has given us. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles. Try to follow all the other teachings Prabhupada has given us. Try to participate in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Do it sincerely. You know, as I said, it's a work in progress. Don't expect that you're going to have hair standing on end and tears flowing from your eyes by tomorrow morning. I mean, I don't think that's not how it works. At least that's not been my experience. But it's, it definitely is a work in progress. And, if you do like that, you'll make progress towards receiving this mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. Sure. Prayena payosa sabya kalina smin yagajana manda sumanda mataya manda bhagya hupadirta. That in the Zion age of Kali, people are lazy, misguided, quarrelsome, etc., and above all, always disturbed. That's the one you're referring to. So what's your question? Yeah, it's 1:10. Yep. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.